Well, joining us live now is Sibel Edmonds, a former translator for the FBI who was sacked after being labeled a disruptive influence within the translation group there. Her disruptive behavior took the form of blowing the whistle on some very strange practices within that group. She repeatedly reported serious security breaches and misconduct in the agency's translation program. She challenged her retaliatory dismissal by filing a suit in federal court. Last July, the district court dismissed her case when Attorney General John Ashcroft invoked the so-called state secrets privilege, saying that information about her case would cause serious damage to the security and foreign policy interests of the United States if publicly disclosed. The gag order on Sibel Edmonds remains in effect. The ACLU is representing her in the appeal. Sibel, welcome back to the Sunday Monitor.
Good evening, Mark. Thank you for inviting me back.
I'm struggling to hear you a little bit. Maybe we can adjust the sound levels, but I wanted to start off with some background first for people who haven't heard the details of your case. Could you perhaps just spend two or three minutes telling us, in summary, the allegations that you made while you were at the FBI and what has been done about them, if anything?
Okay. I started working for the FBI about a week after September 11, 2001, and I was translating for Turkish, Farsi, and Azerbaijani languages. During my short tenure with the Bureau, I reported several serious cases and issues to the upper management within the FBI, all the way up to Director Mueller and his assistant. Including these allegations includes intentional blocking of very important intelligence wiretap. Also, certain counterintelligence investigations that were related directly to counterterrorism investigations were not being transferred to counterterrorism. This is despite the Patriot Act and the walls they keep referring to, simply because the targets were considered sensitive diplomatic relations and sensitive foreign business relations. Also, there were some serious security breaches and espionage activities. By February 2002, I was being told that they were not going to investigate these cases, and they were telling me to back off. I did not. They confiscated my home computers. They gave me polygraph, and at that point, I decided that they were not going to investigate these cases. So I went to the Congress. I went to the Senate Intelligence Committee, and the Senate Judiciary Committee, and I presented them with documents, names of witnesses, and all the facts regarding these cases and issues. At the same time, in March 2002, I took the case, again, together with all the evidence and documents, to the Inspector General's office for the Department of Justice. And 2 weeks after that, I was fired. I was terminated. And since then, just the way you mentioned it, Attorney General Ashcroft invoked the state secret privilege. This is a very rarely invoked privilege, to block all court proceedings in my case. My FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act, to obtain some of these documents and make it public were blocked under national security. Everything is considered classified in those documents. As you know, the United States Congress was officially gagged by the Attorney General in May 2004. And any subpoena issued for my deposition by the 9/11 family members were quashed by the Attorney General Ashcroft. And finally, after 2 years of delay, this report was first entirely blocked, and now they released only the unclassified version of its executive summary.
This is the Inspector General's report?
Correct.
So what were the summary findings in that report? What, did they back up any of the allegations that you made?
Well, basically, they have confirmed my core allegations and the reports. And also, they are saying that the FBI failed to investigate these cases, specifically the espionage cases, despite the fact that these cases were confirmed by other witnesses, other facts and evidence provided both to the FBI, Department of Justice's Inspector General's office. And now the FBI is saying, they just issued the statement saying that now they are going back and they are going to reinvestigate those cases. Of course, as you know, the targets of those investigations, at least the top targets, have already left the country. as late as February 2002. Those persons who were involved in these security breaches and espionage charges, they left the country hastily in September 2002. So this is just the beginning, Mark. Now that this report, or so-called unclassified version of this report, is out, the Congress has no longer this excuse of, well, we are waiting for the report. We are not going to do much until this report is out. So now we are ready for the next step. And I should say maybe next steps, because we are pursuing the court channels very strongly. And as you know, we have other groups who have joined us in support of our appeal of the state secret privilege to remove this gag. This group consists of 9/11 victims' family members and several government watchdog organizations. And also, I'm going to pursue the Congress. I started this petition about a month and a half ago, and we are collecting signatures and having people demand action from their representatives,
And you have a website, actually, and there's a link on that website to the petition. I just looked at it earlier today, and you've got something like 7,000-plus signatures already.
Absolutely.
People who want to look at that website, it's justacitizen.com, is that right?
Correct. You can go to www.justacitizen.com.
And so what are you basically alleging in this lawsuit that, that the ACLU is representing you in?
Well, I'm having a hard time hearing you, Mark, so can you repeat that question, please?
What is the ACLU basically alleging in this lawsuit that they're representing you in against the government?
Well, we are appealing this case because when the Attorney General invoked this so-called state secret privilege, the judge, Judge Reggie Walton, who was appointed by President Bush, basically granted their request without really scrutinizing the case and the privilege. We had no hearings, we had no discovery, no depositions. In fact, we never even went in front of this judge. The government attorneys, Department of Justice's attorneys, they had these secret ex parte in camera meetings with the judge. Then the judge came out and said, okay, it is draconian, however, I'm going to go with the government's decision and I'm going to say they are right. Well, the ACLU, they are making a very, very good case on this appeal by saying that even when the state secret privilege is invoked, you cannot say, well, it's the mosaic theory and we have to throw the whole case out. You have to do your best as a judge in court to basically separate classified information from unclassified information. How can you say all this information is classified? For example, they are saying that the languages I speak, Farsi, Turkish, and Azerbaijani, these languages are considered top secret classified. Think about it.
The fact that you speak them is considered classified?
The fact, yes, those languages cannot be named in relation to me or my case.
But a lot of this stuff,
this mosaic theory.
A lot of this stuff is already in the public domain. I mean,
absolutely.
how do they classify stuff that is front page of the New York Times a couple of months ago?
That is the whole point, because the action by the Attorney General, the ex Attorney General Ashcroft, was illegal. It was considered illegal even by ISSO, because he goes 2 years after the fact, after the FBI confirmed my allegations to the Senate Judiciary Committee during unclassified meetings. And after this information was available, you know, widely on the Internet, on the Senate's website, and thousands of other websites, they go and say, oops, you know what? The whole thing is classified. Now, we are going to go back after 2 years and say the whole thing is classified, and we don't care whether or not there are 45, 50,000 websites that have these this information on their site. And we don't care if it's on, you know, several newspapers, articles. So it is ridiculous. But what is more ridiculous is the fact that they're getting away with it. They are doing it because they can. Here, this case came in front of the judge, right? And we presented this judge with this evidence saying, look at these letters, look at all these websites, look at all these articles. And the judge said, no, I'm going to go with the government's decision. And that is the real sad part. Unacceptable part, and we are not accepting it.
Yeah, there are two basic angles with this whole issue. I guess one is understanding 9/11 and what happened, and then the second is trying to prevent future incidents like that. It seems to me like some of the main allegations that you made about 9/11 have hardly been examined at all. For example, basically that FBI possessed documents that showed the 9/11 hijackers were in the country and plotting to use airplanes as missiles to carry out an attack in a major city, and that the FBI knew this several months before the attacks occurred. This is something that has been revealed and is in the public domain. It doesn't seem to me there's been any reaction to this by the government that is in any way obvious. Can you tell us about the two angles in terms of truly understanding what happened on 9/11 and the events leading up to it, and then trying to prevent future attacks by actually having a better handle on who's in the country and what they're up to?
Correct. What you just referred to has been public. In April 2001, an Iranian informant who had been a reliable informant asset for the FBI for at least 8-9 years provided some specific information to two FBI agents, and these two agents, they did their job. They reported it back to their superiors, and the information that this guy provided were very, very specific in nature, and this was in April. However, we had other information coming in June, July 2001, and again, some of this information has already been confirmed. If you go and look at the Chicago Tribune article from July 22, 2004, even Director Mueller expressed surprise that the 9/11 Commission did not ask him about this Iranian informant case. And the Iranian informant, other translators present, those agents, they all testified, of course, behind closed doors, in front of before the 9/11 Commission,
mm-hmm.
And the commissioners and their investigators. And you know what? There is nothing there in that report.
And you testified as well to the 9/11 Commission, right?
Correct.
And that was all behind closed doors as well?
Excuse me?
Your testimony to them was behind closed doors as well?
Yes. I had to go inside what they refer to as SCIF, the secured facilities where you can talk about classified information, where you can present classified documents. And I had a session for 3.5 hours inside the SCIF, and I had another session for 1.5 hours during a meeting outside the SCIF. And as you know, the report only refers to this case in a footnote, I don't know, footnote number 25, and says, please refer to the IG report. Well, at that time, the IG report was entirely classified.
Right. No, I had the dubious pleasure of wading through those 500-plus pages of the 9/11 report, and there was only one footnote that mentioned you, and I was pretty taken aback by that because of the allegations that you've made. And so,
confirmed allegations.
Right, yeah. I mean, and these things appear to be fairly well documented and to a large extent backed up by the government's own investigation. So what do we now think of this country's ability to grasp what is going on within its own borders? Are we prepared to prevent future attacks?
Well, if you're asking for my personal opinion, no. And here we have had one investigation, this joint inquiry by the Senate and the House, and also we had this 9/11 Commission report. And I keep telling people, currently there are so many reports that are entirely classified. For example, besides this report that they only released unclassified version, the IG, Department of Justice's Inspector General's Office, has another investigation that they completed in July 2004, and it's called FBI and the 9/11 Pre-Knowledge, okay? And this deals with my case, with Behrouz Farshad, this other Iranian translator's case, John M. Cole, Colleen Rowley, the Phoenix memo, and this report was completed in July 2004, and the entire report is classified. So if you have had investigation, if you have put forth this information, why are you classifying this report that has to do with FBI and pre-knowledge of 9/11? The entire report is classified. There is another report on CIA. That report is entirely classified. We have these 28 pages that Senator Graham came out and screamed about. They still haven't released anything from those 28 pages. You know why? Because it deals with certain foreign countries, and we have sensitive diplomatic relations with those countries.
Well, the main one, this is, again, public knowledge, is Saudi Arabia was a big part of those 28 missing pages. So when a report like that is classified, and the two you mentioned specifically, does that mean that only people with top-secret clearance can read that? Who can actually get to those reports?
Well, again, yes, people with top-secret clearances. people, let's say, within the Senate, within the House, and the Senate staff, House staff that have top secret clearance. But see, these people, let's forget about the executive branch, okay? Let's say they have so many reasons to have this information covered up. Let's put that one aside, and let's deal with the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is happening with our Congress? Their job is to represent the people. Their job is not to be engaged in this cover-up. That's their job. So when you get these this situation, when this whole separation of powers is not working, and this whole notion of checks and balances basically gets blurry the way it has become currently, then you're in trouble. And we are in trouble, Mark, because our Congress, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And they will only do it if we demand, and if we demand by action. I have decided just writing letters to them, it just doesn't work. I have banged on so many doors, so many congressmen and senators' doors, it doesn't work. You know what some of them are saying? Oh, this issue is just so messy, and we don't want to deal with it at this point.
Hmm. Is there a point at which they will want to deal with it, have they said?
Well, that's the reason we are doing this petition, because I'm not going to mail this petition to them. I am going to march this petition to their offices, okay? And I hope you will cover that event, too.
No, absolutely,
talk about
we will.
It then, but I want to do it. I'm going to shine the spotlight on them, okay? And let them tell the American public why they don't want to deal with messy issues. Yeah, 9/11 was messy. They don't want to deal with it.
Well, on that very depressing note, it seems to me like the summary is from you, correct me if I'm paraphrasing you wrong here, that we don't really have the full picture of what happened before 9/11, what caused the incident, who was involved, and we're not prepared to prevent future attacks. Is that about a fair summary?
Yes, that would be my personal opinion.
Well, that's a very depressing note to leave this on.
But let's not get depressed, Mark. Let's act.
Well, we'll try not to. Your website, again, is www.justicecitizen.com, and people can go there and read all the latest news updates and hear and watch and listen to interviews that you've had previously, as well as find a link to that petition to sign. Good luck with your press conference on Wednesday. I think the ACLU is holding a press conference for your case then.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us. That was Sibel Edmonds joining us live, former FBI translator turned whistleblower, and we'll keep obviously monitoring the story for you, and we'll keep you updated.